This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off the kick spill. The drippers, the grasshoppers, the hit ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Random question 844-999. Ola, the reason we ask, what do you still own from your childhood? This is a crazy story. According to the story, a New York professor has Gen Xers reminiscing about the childhood after he posted images of his decades-old Apple IIe computer on Twitter on Saturday night.
Damn.
John Pfaff, he dusted off the old computer that's been sitting in his parents' attic for decades, and his surprise, when he flipped the switch and plugged it in, it turned on. Put in an old game disc, ask me if I want to restore the saved game. And it finds one. He tweeted, it must be 30 years old. I am 10 years old again. Apple IIe was the third model of the Apple II series. It was released in 1983. This version touted features such as...
Oh, hit me.
The ability to use both upper and lowercase letters.
Wow.
Hold on, there's more. And fully functionality of the shift and caps lock keys.
Holy crap, man.
All
that
models
is innovation.
Of this computers were discontinued in 1993. Well, Pfaff restored the save game. That was of Adventureland and a text command game released from microcomputers by Scott Adams. That was in 1978. What shall I do next? Reads the prompt on the screen from Adventureland. He says, this is tricky because three decades later, I can't quite remember where I left off this round of Adventureland. But it wanted to pick back up. Pfaff then found floppy disks for several different games of the time, including Millionware, Neuromancer, and Olympic Decathlon. Besides finding those games on a floppy disk, Pfaff also came across a saved copy of his high school assignments and a note from his late father. He says, just found this letter my dad typed to me in 1986 when I was 11 at a summer camp. He tweeted, my dad passed away almost exactly a year ago. It's amazing to come across something so ordinary from him. Pfaff then showed off the vintage computer system to his own children, and their reaction is what you expect from a generation that's got an iPhone.
Like, what is that?
My oldest, who is 9, exclaimed, that's a computer, and laughed in genuine surprise, pointed at the floppy drives and asked, what are those? My younger twins just kept laughing at how silly it seemed to them that was an actual computer.
It is weird. Last night, I don't know what it was. The TV was just on, and this thing was like a throwaway network special. And I only watched about 2 minutes of it, but it was some kind of tribute to Elvis Presley. And like you said, Miles, no better time than Black History Month. So it's a tribute to Elvis Presley, and I guess different whatever. But like the first 2 minutes, it's just Elvis, and it's a recording of an actual performance or video or whatever. And he's singing a song where, I guess at the time, you're being kind of a badass, and he's doing this thing. So my kids look up and see this. They don't know much about Elvis. Like, his name maybe rings some bell deep in their mind, but they don't know who he is. So they think that this is a comedy special because he's up there singing a song, and they are dying. I mean, like, they're choking with laughter, and look, I'm not an Elvis fan. I think it's ridiculous, but still, I'm like, hey, guys. They're like, who is that? I'm like, it's Elvis Presley. And they're like, what is he doing? I said, he's not trying to be funny. They didn't believe me. I kept saying, no, listen to me. This guy, at one time, like, this was serious ass. He's a big hero. They swore up and down that it's a parody and that he's one of the funniest comedians they've ever seen. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
It's like putting on Benny Goodman records when you're a kid and laughing.
You're like, what is that? They didn't want me to turn it off because they, honest to God, thought it was a comedy routine. Hello, Andy. Welcome to the Men's Room.
What's up, buddy?
Hola.
Andy, welcome to the program. The random question. We're going to give you this one. Who do you know that goes overboard with their pets? And how do they go overboard? Who do you know that's just, it's too much?
With their pet?
With their pet, their dog, their cat, whatever they got.
They dress them up. They have to be in the pet. They walk them in a baby carriage.
Walk around everywhere, the snake around their neck, you know, whatever the deal is.
Yeah, no, I got the homie that's got the small poodle, the black, all black, tiny poodle, wears the sweaters. It's got the coat. You know, like,
what kind of sweaters are we looking at?
It's a rain. I'm talking like a whole, like, probably 5 or 10 of them. You know what I mean? They're like one for each situation: Halloween, Valentine's Day, Christmas.
Hey, let me tell you something else about that, man. You don't think about it.
That stuff just weirds me out. It's like, man, you look at the dog. The dog's all pissed off. Like, dude, what are you doing to me? Like, he's looking at you. Like, take this off.
I was going to say, man, dogs, they always look the same. And like, I giggle at the picture. I get the funny. But the dogs always look like I would kill them if I could.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the truth.
If you go to pet him while he's wearing the coat, he starts looking at you and snarling and stuff. He's like, all right, man, look, I didn't put it on you. You know what I mean? I'm sorry.
No, he doesn't want your pity. He's like, I know. I'm like, don't pet me.
I'm not trying to pity him. I just want to give you a little scratch by in the ears. He's a little mad at me. You know what I mean? He's like, I didn't put it on you. I'm just here. But I get it.
Poodles normally are a little bit aggressive every once in a while because they're one of the little dogs. They're like next up in line after like a Shih Tzu or a Pomeranian.
Shih Tzus are always loud. Pomeranians, Chihuahuas, but at least Chihuahuas look so ridiculous. They have some redeeming quality.
Sure. If you go and you look in the kid's shoe department or someplace like that, you'll see a pair of Air Jordans that they have for a 2-year-old.
Uh-huh.
Those Air Jordans are the same price as they are for an adult.
I discovered that with Nike Shocks for an infant that couldn't walk.
Yeah.
And let's just say that was a tense conversation in the house.
So, same thing with a dog coat. If you get, like, a dog a really good raincoat, it's almost the same price as it would be for you to go to REI and
you
get
know
a
what
really
I
good
did?
Raincoat.
I didn't buy my dog clothing.
Well, the reason we asked, who goes overboard that you know with their pet? So the story goes from Rob Fox. Any relation, Robin? He spells his name with 3 X's. You only use 2, I know.
It'd be great if his middle initial is X.
He says, beloved American prize wizard Bob Barker used to give us the daily reminder to spay and neuter our pets. But if this latest trend hits the mainstream, we should probably just start sterilizing all human beings. A glittered dog scrotum. That's where we're at as a society.
The disco ball.
Yes, it is true. The trend first hit wide public awareness after being shared on the Royal Paws Pet Salon Facebook page. The North Carolina Pet Salon, however, is not the purveyor of sparkled dog balls. They posted the pictures for entertainment purposes only and assured their customers that they would absolutely not be partaking in the testicular bedazzlement. But yes.
Where is this? Where did this trend start that someone said, hey, man, you know what? I'm going to dip my dog's balls in glitter and make it sparkle.
The glitter, which is edible, is applied to the dog's scrotum with corn syrup. It's not dangerous for the dogs who lick that anyway. It just has glitter.
But now you put corn.
First of all, listen, your dog shouldn't technically probably have testicles if you are listening to Bob Barker. So not to come full circle on this, but the dog's. Probably, unless you're a breeder, should not be having glitter
whether
in their testicles.
Whether it does or does not have testicles, do not put. Why would you put glitter on? And then why would you use corn syrup? Like, they're going to lick their junk anyway, right? Yep. That's what they do.
If you were with a woman and she said, I really wish you would put corn syrup on your testicles and put glitter on there, we'll have sex, would you do it?
Hell yeah, I would.
Yeah, I would too.
Absolutely.
Random.
We had a conversation earlier about what I might tolerate.
Random.
But that's a different scenario, right? Random. I mean, if they said, I've always just wanted a guy with sparkly testicles. I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. let's go to Texas. Hello, Tim. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Tim, what's the weather like in Austin, Texas?
It's in the 70s down here.
Kiss my ass. All right.
So this is actually the time of the year where you can get out and do some stuff without feeling like you're going to die.
That's right.
Okay.
So I've had a Christmas dinner outdoors once. It was visiting my parents in Austin. It was weird, but it was somehow it made the dinner much better.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was real nice, man.
If I'm on a beach somewhere for Christmas, I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, hey, this is just fine with me.
Perfect.
I'm not missing the snow. What, Tim, what would you say is the craziest thing that you've seen while driving? That is your random question. Craziest thing you've seen while driving?
Craziest thing I've seen while driving? There's some things I can't say on the radio.
Is that people getting filleted or masturbating as you drive by?
Both.
Are you a truck driver?
No, work for a company. I drive a work van all day.
So you're kind of up there. You're seated pretty high.
But the highways in Texas, man, I mean, I imagine you can see a whole lot because there's a whole lot of people driving on the highways.
Yes, they do.
Did the person who was driving see you see them having that done?
Oh, yeah, and he just smiled and kept driving.
I mean, but wouldn't you? Honestly, like, hey, man, I'm not going to let you interrupt this.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not a cop pulling me over, and even then, until he gets to the window, you got to keep going.
What's more distracting, that or a phone call? I mean, all things considered. You know what I'm saying? I'm not encouraging that behavior. I'm just saying. It's Bluetooth or no tooth. You know what I'm saying? One of the two.
Have you ever had any kind of sexual relations while driving your vehicle?
No.
No.
I don't. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it,
I was young.
Of course you were young.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I know that, but I mean, was it...
Yeah, it was
full on? Over,
no, I don't think so. No, we'd pull over if that was...
Was she...
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
And, like, did she announce that this was going to happen, or was it just you are driving...
I can't remember. It's been so long.
And
it's
you like, don't care,
it's
do
a
you?
Distant memory, but it's one that I'll always remember.
Were you driving a manual? Because that's what
yeah, I... Yeah, always.
You were driving a manual.
Oh, sure.
How did you finagle that? Like,
I was on the highway.
Okay, all right.
I was so, already in whatever I had. Fourth gear.
That's going to say, you're not doing that through the city with a
no,
man.
No, no, no.
Small details to consider.
Reason we ask, craziest thing you've seen while driving, one of North Carolina's bears was caught in the act of eating trash last week, but it got stuck on the garbage truck that was headed to a landfill. A photo posted by the chamber on Facebook showed the bear perched on the top of the truck's trailer, trapped by the netting used to keep the trash from falling out. Apparently, there was a call from a motorist at 7:20 a.m. and said a bear is hanging off the back of a dump truck and headed north on U.S. 17. A spokesperson said that the deputy stopped the truck and then the bear stuck his head up out of the trailer. Driver told deputies he was unaware that a bear was on top of his trash truck. Stumped for a solution, deputies came up with a plan to allow the bear to continue riding on the truck until it reached the landfill.
What are you going to do?
However, the driver resolved the matter more quickly by rolling back the netting, and from there, the bear hopped out of the truck and ran into the woods.
All right, perfect.
Yeah, got out of there.
As far as this comment just came in, it says... I saw a woman, I'm trying to think how to best describe this. She was alone. She did not have a sex toy. Let's just say she had her hand in a fist.
All right.
And it says, I'm a cop, and I ignored that nastiness.
Yeah, you don't want to pull her over.
That's what I'm saying. I admire your spirit, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm a cop. I'm not dealing with that.
There's bigger fish to fry, no pun intended.
I just, like I said, I get it, man. Just like, I shit now. Now, yeah. I'm not dealing with that. Mm-hmm.
Still to come, your guess is as good as mine in categories beer and hangovers. The word is a total and complete cluster F, and we've got your emails coming up next from the Men's Room at mensroomlive.com. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up with Bring It with a shout out to Aiden around profile this as well. First time for a few emails in the Men's Room at mensroomlive.com.
You've got mail. You've got mail.
Let's jump right into the birthday emails. Ola, gentlemen, and Wobbin, it's my younger stepsister's 14th rotation around the sun. Please give her a little kid fish sandwich, a can I grow up, and a panties. I'm not doing that, Michael. We'll do the can I grow up and the little kid fish sandwich, you sick, sick man.
Fish sandwich.
Can I grow up?
Guys in Wobbin, my son Josh is turning 22 today. He is a loyal listener who works as a land surveyor. He would love a birthday shout-out, maybe an Oh Dear Jesus and some turtle wax, and the dirty Germans talking about sticking things in the ground. Thanks for making the family laugh, guys. That from Tara.
Oh, dear Jesus.
Yeah, I do not always need to put things in the ground, but I will put my thing in any muddy hole.
Ja, du kannst gerne deine Pflanzen in den Reif reinschmeißen.
Ooh. Yeah.
Guys, it's my brother Ambam Ambrose's birthday. Can he get a big old bong rip and you guys talking all over each other about dinosaurs? Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Macholas, it's my cousin Jasmine's birthday today, so can I get you guys to slam her with a little heavy tortoise sex and some dirty Germans and to ruin her vegan diet? Maybe a fish sandwich. Thanks again from the cousin and aunt in Vegas. Rock on, guys.
Fish sandwich.
Yeah, for your birthday, I will let you tickle my Elmo. You can guess where he is with googly eyes.
Ja, ich hoffe, dein Geburtstagskuchen ist sehr dreckig.
Oh, ja.
Bitches, today is my friend and co-worker's 31st birthday. Can I get some dirty advice on what to do tonight from the dirty Germans and a little dirty Robin as well? Thanks, guys, and keep on rocking.
Ja, you do the same thing you do on any given night. You pull out all of the vegetables you need for a salad, and then you take the cucumber and you put it somewhere.
Ja, wie alt bist du für dein Geburtstag? Du kannst mich so viel mal anfassen.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll fit.
Guys, today's my husband's 36th trip around the sun. He's a great dad to our two boys and a great husband. So great, he got his vasectomy on Valentine's Day. Gonna get an original fish sandwich and a Joey Chestnut, followed with some turtle wax. You guys rock. That from Lindsay, David, and Pickle.
Fish sandwich.
Joey Chestnut!
Please clap.
Drop the beat.
All right, guys, here you go.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, I hit the wrong frickin' Yaws of Dirty Germans brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage. Available through Uli's World Famous Sausage, mensroomlive.com, and other fine retailers. Mmm, Schweinefleisch.
Let's get a contestant on the line now, if we could, for your guess is as good as mine. We'll take caller 9 now, 844-999. Ola, first time for a few extra emails. As far as our question about weird names that you remember or names that you'll never forget, fellas in Waban sold Christmas trees during the holidays about 5 years ago. We had an Asian kid working with us. His name was Free New Wang. Great kid. Also had a math teacher named Dick Broadsack. Shout out to Top Banana, guys. That's from Elliot G.
Generally speaking, if your name's Richard, I would not go by Dick, but if my last name's Broadsack, I absolutely go by Dick.
Adam says, real quick, guys, used to work in a building with a guy who had the last name Nice Wonger. I don't know how it was supposed to be pronounced, but Wonger immediately became another name for a penis to my buddy and I. Used to creep up behind my buddy and go, hey, dude, that's a real nice Wonger you got there. On vacation, guys, in Yuma, I drove past a dentist's office named Dr. Butcher. Oh, I've seen a few names that have stuck with me in past jobs. The one that sticks out with me the most, Alfredo Sausido, or Sausido. I think it's Sausido.
Alfredo Sausido.
Yeah. Alfredo Sausido. Jesus God, man. Also went to high school with Crystal Chandelier.
Come on.
Parents give kids ammunition to teasing, but those are two I will never forget. That from Randy. Bitches, my dad, last name Maines, pronounced Maines, named my sister. He said it as a joke. My mom thought it was pretty. He didn't tell her this until my sister was 3 years old. My sister's name is Myra. Sounds like Myra Maines.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I also know a Max Power. He's an airplane mechanic. Peace out, bitches. That from Nicholas. I think I know a Max Power, too. He's an ass on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, we interviewed that guy. Remember him?
Max Power?
Yeah, he had a book out all those years ago.
Yeah. Oh,
That was Max Powers,
no.
Right?
Oh, no, that was Max Powers, a local guy. That was, God, the guy, Max, what the hell was it? Tucker Max.
Tucker Max, yeah.
Tucker Max, right? Weird names have come across. Ola, I'm probably a little late on this one, but I came across a gentleman who had legally changed his name to Mr. Bigfoot. First name Mr., last name Bigfoot. He never understood why. We confirmed it so many times. Keep on rocking. That from Elisa. Guys, 1980s, Puyallup, Washington, Rogers High School. A teacher there was Harry Crack. Thanks, guys. That from KISS. K-R-A-C-K, Crack. Had a relative named Harry Weed. That one from Lyle. Names I'll never forget. I worked at a place. They brought in executives from the main office to sign a banner for a goal achievement. I had to sign next to Dick Hunter and Dick Hertz. I managed to keep a straight face. And from Mary.
Would you rather be Dick Hertz or Dick Hunter? I think I'd rather go Hertz. With Dick Hertz. Yeah.
Yeah. All the gentlemen catching up on the podcast. Speaking of weird, dumb names, I had a friend who named her kid Doctor because she was obsessed with Doctor Who. Oh, I want that kid to become a doctor so bad so he can be Doctor Doctor. Also, in regards to the woman saying a coworker knew a pair of twins named Arangelo and Limoncello, and you guys called it out as BS. Just wanted to say I went to school with two brothers. One was Lorenzo. The other was Lorindo. So it can happen. Cheers, mate. That from Orpheus.
But at least Lorenzo is an actual name.
Correct. And one more. On a road trip years ago, we drove through an Idaho town named Atthole. The locals we talked to said it was pronounced the way Shannon Sharp would. Best part is a couple days later, we had a tire puncture, so we needed to have a couple of at-holes fix our tire. Those at-holes did a great job, by the way. There you go on the email. Still to come, the words got, what the hell is it? Oh, a total and complete cluster F, much like this show. But first, time for a little Your Guess Is As Good As Mine. It's an easy game to play. We get a contestant on the line.
Yeah.
We give you one or two categories to choose from. And then from there, you try to get as many right in said category before three strikes. And you're out, Steve, who is our contestant, ready to play Your Guess Is As Good As Mine.
Well, we go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Justin, welcome to the program. And your guess is as good as mine.
Just tell me real quick, what is the weather in Chattanooga?
Rainy and cold.
Okay.
Welcome right. to Chattanooga.
Just like being here. All right.
Are you checking us out on Rock 105?
Yes, sir.
We appreciate that, man. Thank you so much. Okay. So here's how the game is played. Do you understand how your guess is as good as mine is played? You got two categories. One is the most 10 popular beers in America. All right. So we have the 10 most popular right. beers in America. And then we have the 10 most popular places to eat when you have a nasty hangover. A new survey had people rank their favorite places to eat when they've got a nasty hangover. We've got the top 10. So do you want to go with the most popular beers in America or the 10 most places that are popular to go when you are hungover?
Let's do the 10 most popular beers.
10 most popular beers.
All right.
Okay. As they say, people may rave over their favorite craft brews, but the most popular beer brand in America is not one of those.
Of course.
Numbers crunched by Wall Street 24/7 prove the point with the number of barrels shipped in 2017, doubling its nearest rival. Maybe the only silver lining they say for those hoping to move up in the rankings is the top four brands all registered decreased sales from the preceding year. So what we need you to do is name as many correct in the category of the most popular beers in America. There are 10 possible choices. Name as many as you can before three strikes and you're out. All right, what's your first guess on Your Guess Is As Good As Mine?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Pabst Blue Ribbon not on the list, although it is quite a popular beer with the hipsters.
It is very popular. But you know what, man, look, you know you're going to, it has to be, I'm thinking Bud Light. Miller Lite, Coors Light.
Yeah, my second guess is going to be Bud.
Budweiser or Bud Light?
Bud Light.
Bud Light is number one. Bud Light, 33 million barrels shipped in 2017. Keeping in mind, number two had 16.5 million.
Jesus.
So the number two beer in America doesn't even sell half as much as Bud Light, which is number one. All right. These are the 10 most popular beers in America. I think you're getting the hang of this now. You got number one, Bud Light. What is your next guess?
Coors Light.
Number two.
Yeah.
At 16.5 million. It's down 4.1% from last year, but it is still the number two selling beer in America. All right. You got the top two, Bud Light and Coors Light. What is your next guess on Your Guess Is As Good As Mine?
Natty White. Natural White.
Seems like a yes, that is correct at number eight.
Ooh, strong.
Natural Light, 6.5 million barrels shipped. You think that's a crazy guess? It is not. Natural Light comes in at number eight. So far, so good. You've gotten Bud Light at number one, Coors Light at number two, and Natural Light at number eight. These are the 10 most popular beers in America. What is your next guess on your guess is as good as mine?
I would guess
Miller High Life.
Miller High Life?
Miller High Life?
I would go Miller Light, dude.
Miller Light, then? Well, Miller something.
Okay, but you got to be specific because some of these have more than one brands that are popular.
Because I bet you Budweiser's on that list.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. I'm just saying what I see advertised all the time.
Okay, so you want to stick with Miller Lite or Miller High Life?
Miller Lite.
Miller Lite, number four.
All right.
13.1 million barrels shipped in 2017. So far, you've got Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Lite, and Natural Light. There are six more beers that are in the top 10 of the most popular beers in America.
I'm going to go with Budweiser.
Number three, Budweiser, 13.3 million barrels shipped. So far, you're doing great, man. You've got the number one beer, Bud Light, the number two beer, Coors Light, number three, Budweiser, number four, Miller Lite, and number eight, Natural Light.
My man, I don't know because I cannot see the list, but I would guess just from advertising, maybe Heineken, maybe Corona.
I was thinking Corona Light or Corona Extra. I'm going to go with Corona Light.
Corona Light. Corona Light is not on the
list.
I'm
telling you, man, just Corona. I think just straight Corona.
All right, Corona.
Corona right. Extra number five, 8.7 million barrels shipped. All right, you've got the top five. Bud Light, Coors Light, Budweiser, Miller Light, Corona Extra, and number eight, Natural Light. You've gotten six out of the 10 correct in the most popular beers in America. There are four possible answers remaining. You've got two strikes with one remaining.
Now, I don't know, man. I'm thinking maybe Miller Genuine Draft, Heineken. I don't know, Justin. I'm just throwing ideas out there.
Let me go with Heineken.
Justin, that wasn't it. So close, though.
So, all right. So, what are the ones you got?
Natural Light, 6.5 million barrels.
All right.
Corona Extra at number five. Miller Lite at number four. Budweiser at number three. Coors Light at number two. And Bud Light at number one. I'll give you a couple clues here. There are three remaining beers.
Sam Adams.
That are brewed by the same brewing company. One Mexican beer on the list. As far as what the origin of the beer goes, we know that it's all been conglomerated.
Corona. Did he say Corona?
He said Corona. There's one Mexican
Tecate?
Beer.
Tecate? Oh, Dos Equis.
Nope.
Jesus. It's not Tecate. It's not Dos Equis. Robin, do you have any idea of Mexican beer?
You enjoy this beer a lot.
There's Negro Modelo. Pacifico.
Not Negra Modelo.
Modelo
Especial.
All right.
Modelo Especial.
Really? I did not know it was that popular.
At number seven comes in at 7.2 million barrels a year. So far, Bud Light, Coors Light, Budweiser, Miller Light, Corona Extra, Modelo Especial, and Natural Light. There are three beers remaining in the top 10 most popular beers in America. Two are the same brand. One is within that brand's company. Think about what people drink when you go to Florida. Think about what people drink when you go to Arizona, when it's just hotter than hell. Houston, Texas. What do white people drink in all these places? Based on one thing alone, and that's carbohydrates. It's all they drink.
Michelob Ultra?
That is correct. Michelob Ultra comes in at number six.
Yeah, yeah.
At 7.7 million barrels shipped. And we're missing a big one here. It's not our favorite beer. Kind of comes in a little bit sweet. But it's a very popular beer, and their regular beer and their light beer both make the list with 6.4 million of the light variety and 4.7 million of the house brand.
Once it just Molson?
It is not Molson. No Canadian beers on the list.
So it comes in a little bit sweet.
It's not Miller. It's not Coors.
Those are the two that it's not part of.
So what the hell is
All right, it's an Anheuser-Busch product.
So there's Budweiser, there's Bud Light, like Shock Top or something like that.
Is it Bush?
It is Bush!
What? Oh.
Bush comes in at number 10, 4.7 million barrels. And number nine, Bush is beaten by Bush Light, which is a landing strip. No, it's 6.4 million. So once again, here are your top 10 most popular beers in America. At number 10, Bush. At number 9, Busch Light. At number 8, Natural Light. At 7, Modelo Especial. At 6, Michelob Ultra, followed by Corona Extra, Miller Lite, Budweiser at 3, Coors Light at 2. And the number 1 most popular beer in America based on volume is Bud Light with 33 million barrels shipped in 2017.
I'd have never guessed Busch, man.
There you go. On your guess is as good as mine. Still to come, speaking of, we'll drink and tell us with a shot of the day and the word is a total and complete cluster F, F coming up next. Almost cussed there. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Another round of profilers coming up, and we'll drink and toast with a shout name of her.
The word!
Say the word. We have the difference between a snafu, an S-show, and a cluster.
Yep.
I'm going to have a really hard time listening to that. I've almost dropped
just
the F-bomb.
Don't cut.
4 times so far. The article is written by a lovely author named Corinne Pertil, and she did a lot of investigating on just basically what the difference is between the words. So it's a little bit of science, a little bit of history. Either way, away we go. Let's say the situation at work is not good.
All right.
The project is launched. And the best you can say is that things aren't going as planned at all. It's a disaster. Though the best word for it is the one you drop over drinks with your team afterward. And when you're venting, it's a cluster F.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Now, cluster Fs hold a special place in a public file. Former Oxford English Dictionary editor Jesse Shadlower's comprehensive history of the term defines a cluster F as a bungled or confused undertaking or situation. Another man, Stanford business professor Bob Sutton, goes further, describing cluster Fs as those debacles and disasters caused by a deadly brew of illusion, impatience, and incompetence that afflicts too many decision makers, especially those in powerful, confident, and prestigious groups.
Agreed.
That's very important.
All right.
The term dates back as far as the Vietnam War as military slang for doomed decisions resulting from the toxic combination of too many high-ranking officers and too little on-the-ground information. The cluster part of the word allegedly refers to the officer's oak leaf cluster insignia.
Okay.
Now, to appreciate what a cluster F is and understand how to avoid one, it is first helpful to clarify some of the things that a cluster F is not. It is not an F-up. An F-up is something all of us do every day. I broke the egg, made for breakfast. That was what we were saying earlier. That's an F-up.
You have to.
Where a cluster F are perfectly preventable, F-ups are an unavoidable feature of the human condition.
Okay, that makes sense.
Then we have the snafu. While sometimes used as a synonym for minor malfunctions and hiccups, the slang military acronym Situation Normal All F'd Up actually refers to the functionally messy state that describes many otherwise healthy companies. A snafu work environment is usually manageable, one that is FUBAR. Well, there's nothing you can do about that.
Right.
Now there's an S-show. No less an authority than the Oxford English Dictionary describes an S-show as a situation or state of affairs characterized by chaos, confusion, or incompetence. A cluster F may come to possess all of those characteristics, but it more personally identified by the decisions that produced it than the outcome.
Okay.
So here are the three main contributors if you're looking for a cluster F, okay? In reviewing the most spectacular failures of all, they identified three key factors that resulted in the kind of expensive, embarrassing late-stage collapse that is the hallmark of a true cluster F. They are,
all right,
illusion. A cluster F starts with a decision maker's belief that a goal is much easier to attain than it actually is. Like the Bush administration's estimate that the invasion and reconstruction of Iraq would take no more than a few months and $60 billion. A cluster F prelude of tragic proportions.
Okay, all right, that makes sense.
Then there's impatience. A misguided idea alone does not produce a cluster F. The idea also needs a champion determined to shove it down your throat, usually over the objections of more knowledgeable people, like the Google Glass people who wouldn't listen to anything back in the day.
Right.
Then there's incompetence. when errors of information and timing meet blatantly dumb and stupid decisions by people who should know better, disaster tends to ensue. All three of these failings share a common root. People in power who don't or won't acknowledge the realities of their environment and who don't push themselves to confront what they don't know. People make better decisions when they look into the future and they imagine that they already failed. And they tell a story about what happened. With better planning, it won't be a story that has to be bleeped out.
Okay.
Okay.
So far, it all makes sense.
All right. Next, we bring you nine innocent words with surprisingly naughty origins on the word.
Here are
nine words with innocent appearances and dubious past from Melissa Sandoval. Number one, gymnasium. Gymnasium comes
about naked, isn't it?
Comes from the Greek gymnasin, which means to exercise naked.
Yeah.
The ancient Greeks were also the inventors of the original Olympic Games, where nude exercising was nothing to shake a you-know-what at. Then there's the term mastodon. The mighty mastodon must have a name befitting its humongous size and sharp tusks. But what do masta and don really mean? Massive and daunting? No. It means breast tooth.
Ooh!
When a 19th century French naturalist examined fossilized mastodon teeth, he found projections that he said looked nipple-like. So he chose...
Where was his mind?
The woolly beast, from the Greek masto and the adult, which means breast tooth.
Hey, booby tooth.
Now we have forlorn. When you imagine someone who is forlorn, you probably picture a person who is sad and dejected.
Sure.
The older version of the word, however, had a much deeper meaning. Forlorn comes from the Old English word forloren, which means depraved, morally abandoned. If you're forlorn, you're doomed.
Oh, Jesus.
You might be going to die. And there's one more you should know about, musk. Musk comes from Sanskrit word muska, which translates to testicle. While humans tend to associate musk with cologne, animals such as the male musk deer, they use the pungent substance to communicate.
From Munda.
That's where the musk comes from. Musk seems to have earned its name from the family jewel's name because the deer's musk smelled like the animals that it were trying to attract.
Mm-mm-mm.
So musk is the smell of your penis. Just like there you go on the word wobbin, and we made it to drinking time.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Stephen Throw Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast Mr. Shankar Rai of somewhere in India. We were just saying how dangerous it is in India. And this guy was bitten by a venomous snake while he was asleep. And after it happened, he knew he did not have much time to live. So he asked his wife for one small favor before he died. And no, get your mind out of the gutter. He wanted them to die together and be united forever. And she said, okay. So he bit her wrist to try to pass the venom on to her. And as we know, doesn't work that way. Doctors finally got to the house right after he did, rushed them both to the hospital. Yeah, he died. His wife, of course, survived.
Well, thank God.
So think about it. You get bitten by a snake, like, baby, I'm going to bite your wrist. I think the only reason she was agreeable is because she knew goddamn well it doesn't work that way. Like, yeah, bite
me. Get away from me, man.
Give me some of that venom, man. Yeah, well, she's still alive and he has passed on. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to be in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola! It's going to contest on the line for profile. This will take caller 9 now, 844-999-OLA.
Hola! The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.